This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Good morning. If you have a history in the Episcopal Church or have ever attended our Rite One service, you heard some familiar words in that prayer of what is called the Prayer of Humble Access. It was written by the author of the first Book of Common Prayer, Thomas Cranmer, whom we honor in our calendar of saints in the Episcopal Church. I was having a discussion about favorite prayers after I gave that sermon the other week with St. Jean Safer of our congregation, and Jean happened to mention how much he really liked that prayer, and I like it very much as well. However, it is probably the prayer that evokes the most controversy with people in the church, especially those who come to the Episcopal Church from another denomination or from no church at all. To put it simply, people come to me and say, "I hate that prayer." And yet, when you talk to people about that prayer, it's precisely because I think they don't understand it in its entirety that their vision is somewhat blocked. Because in that prayer, all they hear is, "I am not worthy." And then everything else is shut out. I think for a lot of people, it takes them back to something in their past where, if you'll excuse my French, somebody told them that you're just no damn good. And we hang on to that, and that's what we just hear in that prayer and nothing else. Where if you hear that prayer in its entirety, it is one of the most beautiful prayers that there is, whose property is always to have mercy. That God can do nothing else but be merciful, because that is the very essence of God. That's an incredible prayer, but we need to hear it in the entirety. What I think the gospel, and even the first, and even the letter to Paul to the Romans today is calling us to do, is to expand our vision, to open ourselves up to maybe something new and different that God is calling us to understand. It's an important concept for us. Jesus starts talking today, and he says that it's not important what you put into your mouth. Now, understand the gross refusal to accept that he's going to encounter, because basically, it's half of the book of Leviticus that the religious leaders of the day had looked to for what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. It had a lot to do with their dietary laws. And in one fell swoop, Jesus has just sort of thrown that out the window. And you talk about an expansion of vision, they're not ready for that right now. And so it's not surprising that after that, Jesus goes to Tyre and Sidon. He goes about as far away as he does with any of his ministry. And there he encounters the Canaanite woman. Now Jesus has said, what defiles us is what comes out of our mouth. So the first takeaway, I think, from this gospel is, we need to be careful what we say to each other. Because as we're going to see as I start to talk a little bit about this gospel, it can have great ramifications on what we do to each other. Now Jesus comes and there's this Canaanite woman. We don't know much about her. We are told by Matthew she's Canaanite, so she's at the bottom of the rung in terms of the respect that they would have had for her. Almost like the Samaritan, if they didn't like the Canaanites. We know that she's got a great devotion to this daughter. I mean, look what she goes through. The disciples are trying to shoo her away, but she continues to try to get to Jesus and talk to him. And we know four very important words because they're the words that Jesus says to her. Great is your faith. Jesus doesn't say that to many people in the Bible. Offhand, I can remember one other person that he says it to, and that person was also a Gentile. It's the story of the Roman centurion, if you remember that story. That the centurion comes to Jesus, and he sends a messenger ahead. And what does the centurion have the messenger say? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter my roof, come under my roof, but speak but the word, and my servant shall be healed. It's very similar to what is said in the prayer of humble access. You know, in that prayer of humble access, where we have those words, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. It's a direct reference to this gospel story we just heard. So this woman's faith is incredible. Now, what's going on here? Isn't this kind of a strange conversation? He calls her a dog. Even if it's a little pet, kind of a reference to a dog, it just doesn't seem like Jesus should be saying such things. And scripture scholars have debated this through the years as to what's going on here. Well, one of the things is to draw a parallel between what happened in the first part of the story, where Peter doesn't even get it, the disciples aren't getting it, and they say then, what's happening in this story is Jesus is sort of playing a game because he wants to teach the disciples a lesson. You don't get it? Well, this woman who isn't even one of us, surprise ending, she's as welcome as anyone else. That's one explanation. But there's another one that I want to put before us today that helps us in terms of this expanding our vision idea. We go to Luke's gospel to understand this. Remember the story in Luke's gospel when Jesus is about 12 years old and he goes up to Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus gets lost, or his parents get lost, however you want to look at the story, and Jesus turns out is in the temple teaching. You remember that? And then Jesus is obedient and goes with his parents back home. And Luke ends that story by saying, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in the eyes of all. Jesus increased in wisdom. Now think of that for a minute. The Almighty Son of God increased in wisdom. That's a rather startling comment. Now, if Jesus increased in wisdom at the age of 12 and beyond, who's to say that that wisdom didn't continue to increase as Jesus went about as an adult? Maybe that there is an increase in wisdom, an expansion of vision that's happening for Jesus in this encounter with the Canaanite woman. Maybe her persistence, maybe her great faith is enabling Jesus to see that yes, all deserve healing, all are welcome in the kingdom. That would be an incredible increase in wisdom, but that's what's carrying on here. It's certainly going to be an increase and expansion of vision for the disciples. Now, what's important here for us to take away from this in terms of expansion of vision? Now, if that woman had just heard Jesus call her a dog, and walked away, and she could have turned her nose up at God for the rest of her life, that would have been probably what a lot of people would have done. But she doesn't. She stays in there, and she understands the context and the whole crux of what Jesus is saying, and is healed as a result. How many times in our lives has something been said to us, and all we do is we grab on to that "I am not worthy" piece of it, and it ends up running our life for years? I met with somebody this week, and they talked about the fact that 25 years ago, a clergy person said something to them that was not right. But for 25 years, it was something that limited that person's ability to become all that they should be, because they hung on to that. Well, maybe that clergy person was just having a bad day, and we need to realize that what they said was wrong, and then I need to get on with it. You know, there's that movie that's out there, the Disney movie, where Frozen, where that lady is out there and she sings, "Let it go, let it go." Well, we need to let it go. I remember when I was in first grade, I've told this story to some of you before, Sister Julian, never forget her. She was the most boring person I've ever met. And she's talking about our faith. Well, I wasn't paying attention. And so she calls me up in front of the room and embarrasses me in front of that entire first grade, to the point that I am crying up there, telling me, "Martin Zladek, you are getting an L, the lowest grade you could get in religion." And said some other disparaging things to me about who she thought I was. Now, as a little first grader, I hung on to that for a few years, but I had to let that go. She was off base. She was wrong. This is what's happening in this gospel today. We need to not just hear, "We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs." We need to hear, "Your property is always to have mercy." We need to hear all of the good things that Jesus wants to do with and for us as well. The first reading we heard from Joseph, if there was anybody who would have had an excuse to hang on to stuff, it was Joseph. His brothers threw him in a sewer and left him for dead, for God's sake. But he didn't stop there, did he? He ends up getting into Pharaoh's court. His things are going well for him. What happens? Pharaoh's wife puts the move on him, and he's an upright man, and he says, "No way." What does she do? Accuses him of trying to rape her. He ends up back in jail again. Does he let that stop him? In this incredible conclusion to the story, he is able, because of what he has been through, God enables him to be the vehicle of salvation from famine for his entire family. And what an incredible reunion that must have been as he hugs Benjamin and hugs his brothers in tears. We have to be careful what we say, but we have to be careful what we choose to hear and what we choose to hang on to. Somebody might just be having a bad day when they say something. I told this story earlier. A few years ago, we were doing our blessing of the animals at St. Joseph's, and we had a wonderful committee that had put together these signs that you post in your front lawn inviting people to the event, and put them up in your yard, invite your friends. Well, we had some overzealous parishioners, and they put some of the signs over by St. Vincent's Roman Catholic Church. Now, they weren't officially on their property, but it was right next to their property. And it didn't, let's say the pastor over there wasn't happy about it. And so we called St. Joseph's. And I returned the phone call to apologize for what had happened. And I never knew that Roman Catholic priests could have such colorful language. But I learned a few words that day. And in the midst of that priest ranting and raving at me, he accused me of trying to steal his parishioners. Now, I wanted to tell him that we don't work that way, that we don't do those kinds of things, but this is what came out. Father, the type of people you have are not the ones we're looking for. There were some more colorful words I learned at that point. And there was a loud slamming down of the phone. Now, he didn't hear what I was trying to communicate. And you all know where that priest ended up, so there's the end of that story. But how often in our lives has something been said to us, whether it was by a spouse, by a parent, by a teacher, by a friend, by a brother or a sister, years ago, and it continues to run my life today? They could have been wrong. They could have been having a bad day. It's time for us to look at those situations and what they are doing to us on the inside and do what that lady does in the movie, like Joseph, like the Canaanite woman. Let it go. May we have the grace and the strength to do that. Amen.